Amen. Got your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We'll look into the Word of God this morning for a few moments. Appreciate you making effort to come this morning. You don't just accidentally get here. You got to get up and make preparations and come. Rather be in the house of God than anywhere, hadn't you? Yeah. We'll read a few verses in 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. May the Lord bless your reading of His Word. Begin reading in verse number 5. And like to read through verse number 12. Much in this chapter, and just two or three of these verses mostly be dealing with the Lord willing this morning. Begin reading in verse number 5, says, when I call to remembrance the unfringed faith that's in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded that is in thee also. Now Paul's writing actually to his son in the ministry, Timothy. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that I stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love. And it says, but of power. And it says, not of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. God don't give us a spirit of fear. I'm glad He gives us power. Amen. And love and a sound mind. I have to lay hold of that promise there, don't you, sometime? But thank God He will. Be thou not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord and Savior, of the testimony of the prisoner of our Lord, and nor me, His prisoner. But be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who saved us. Now let this verse blow you out. It's marvelous and wonderful. It's the word of God. He saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus long time ago, before the world began. But it now made manifest in the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who've abolished death, have brought to him, brought the, it says, and brought life and mortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher. God appointed him one, not only a preacher, but apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, listen to this. I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Hallelujah. How much have you committed to Him? You know, we go around worrying. But I'm going to tell you something. If you committed to God, you don't have to worry about that no more. You know what we worry about? That we hadn't committed to Him. And also I want to say, He's able. Would you pray with us this morning? Our Father, our God, we're so thankful that we can commit everything unto Thee, into Thy keeping, into Thy care, into Thy love and kindness and mercy. We thank You for Your purpose and Your will, blessed God, and what You're doing in our own lives and the lives of Your people today. I know it's a troublesome time and a day and hour, a dark hour, but Lord, You still God. There's none of us beside You. You still ruling and reigning and still on the throne. And God, we're so grateful and thankful for that. We ask You blessing now on this scripture. Pray You'd open them up to us this morning. Lord, for a few minutes this morning, we pray our hearts and minds would be set upon You. Our minds and hearts would be clear. Our spirits would be subjected to Thee. And Lord, we'd be surrendered to Thee, our Father, and committed unto Thee, our blessed God. We pray your blessing now upon everyone here. Meet every need in every heart. Speak to us, we do pray this morning, in a marvelous and a wonderful way. And God will ever be careful to praise you for it, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank God. Paul's trying to stir up Timothy, and he laid hands on him, and some gifts have been imparted to him. And he said, stir up the gift of God that's in you. He said, don't be afraid. You know, the one thing about Paul, he kept telling him, said, don't be ashamed of me, the prisoner. He said, don't be ashamed of these bonds. I was reading another verse. You know what he told one of them in one of these verses, one of these chapters, somewhere or another. You know what he said? I got these bonds on me. He's bound up, you know. But he said, you know what he said? The word of God is not bound. Amen. Listen, you can't put it in prison. You can't hush it. You can't stop it. You can't slow it down. Listen, no matter where Apostle Paul was, where he was in prison or out of prison, where he was preaching in bonds, preaching with chains on him, preaching whatever he was, I'm telling you, listen, he said the word of God wasn't bound, and therefore we don't have to be bound. Listen, you may be bound. They might get bound. They had Paul bound physically at times, had him in prison at times, but it didn't change one thing between him and God. That's why he said in Retep, tell him, don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. Don't be ashamed of these bonds. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. He said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You know why? It's the power of God unto salvation. And so listen, this is the perfect picture in this chapter of the wonderful, marvelous grace of God, how that we was lost and undone without God, and he came and saved us. You know what? Before I get into this, he's able to do. You look at this, just look at a little bit of this past scripture. I won't read much about the first part, but I know one thing. I got down to this verse number 9. I said, glory to God. You look at this. Who have saved us and called us. You know what? Listen, experimental. We didn't know. But Paul, how come to put saved us? He didn't say might save us, could save us. Paul said he saved us. Thank God. Aren't you glad for that verse? Aren't you glad when you get saved, you're saved? Amen. I'm telling you, it's a marvelous thing. He saved us and called us. Listen, before he ever called me, before the foundation of the world, listen, he said, I'm going to have a people. I'm going to have some. They're going to be saved. He went to the cross. Listen, 2,000 years ago. Listen, before you was ever in mind, you was in God's mind before you ever got anybody else's. Listen, he went to the cross and paid the supreme sacrifice that you could be saved. Thank God for that. Did you know we fell in Adam? I'm talking about we didn't just stumble a little bit. We didn't just slip a little bit. We fell to the bottom and became rotten, wicked sinners in Adam. That's in the first Adam. But I'm so glad that Jesus came. And listen, he died on the cross, gave his life for you and for me. And that second Adam, or last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, paid the supreme sacrifice, went to Calvary, and bought back that Adam sold out. Listen, I read a verse of scripture over there. I believe it was at the funeral. You know what it said? It said, if half of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building with God eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. He said, we want to be clothed upon again. We ought not be found naked. Listen, in the garden, man become naked before God. And Jesus Christ bought us back, went to Calvary and paid the supreme sacrifice. And listen, bought us back and robed us in his righteousness. Glory to God. And therefore we're not naked before God no more. You know why? Because we've been born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, robed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for a Savior like that. Oh, glory to God. He said something, who saved us and called us. You better be glad he called you. Oh, you said, I'm looking for him. Yeah, I know you were, about like Adam was. You was looking for him about like I was. You was probably like me, running just as hard as you could the other way. I don't know why some people have such a hard time just admitting they were sinners. Just admit it. Carol taught me a few things. One of them was this. She said, you might as well go and tell God what it is. He doesn't know it anyhow. That's true. You can't hide it from him. He's God. There's none other besides him. And so he not only saved us, but he called us. Son, when that blood was shed on Calvary, the deal was done. It was finished. When Jesus said it's finished, it's finished. Salvation's complete. He paid the complete price. He didn't just pay a down payment and he's going to have some of you come back. No, he didn't. He said he saved us and he called us with an holy calling. You know what kind of calling he called me with? A holy calling. You know, what's that mean? I get out of sin, hate it and leave it, and I walk in holiness. Amen. That's not a nomination. That's a walk of life. Yeah. Yeah. I've had people say, well, we Baptists, we Methodists, we're not holiness. I don't care what you are. You better be walking. When God calls us, and he calls us with a holy calling. Now you can't hide behind doors and numbers and names. We got to face God. He calls us, he's saved. I'm not an English teacher, and mine's gone now. So I don't know exactly, I think it's like it's done happened. Is that good enough? It's finished. Done happened. I'm being sanctified, but thank God I've been saved. Hallelujah. Not going to wait to get there and see fam. I'm already been born again. Hallelujah. He said he called me and he saved me and called me with a holy calling. And listen to what he put in, not according to our works. Not our works. We're not saved by our own works, lest any man should what? Boast. Paul said he glory in nothing but the cross. Listen, Apostle Paul is a perfect example of God taking someone and changing him and transforming him into a new creature. He was persecuting the church. He was hauling Christians in to have them killed. He was standing there when Stephen was stoned. They laid his old clothes at his feet. Wonder what God was doing then. He convicted him. But I'm telling you, God changes. So it's not according to our works. He was working against God. God turned him around. Hallelujah. Must move on quick. But it weren't according to his works, but it was according to his, not according to our purpose, but his what? Own purpose. God purposed to save me. I don't know about you, that excites me. I've had people tell me, say, well, if I believe like that, I just go out and do anything. You need to get saved, sir. If you can do anything, everything, you don't want to live for God, come back to the altar. Yeah. Amen. Because he's called you with a holy calling. But he said he's not saved us according to our own purpose, but according to his own purpose, not of our works, but his purpose. He purposed on purpose. He saved me. Thank God. You know what I've said many times? We ought to purpose in our heart to find out, listen, what God's got for us to do. We ought to purpose to find that out because he saved us on purpose. I could have been lost still. I could have been born somewhere, never heard the gospel yet. Did you ever think about that? You know who God made you? Exactly who he wanted you. You're born exactly what the family he wanted you to be born in. You. I mean, God individually made us. And on purpose. on purpose now, and his own purpose, but that, he goes on further. Listen to this now. And grace. We're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. It's all of grace. He saved us by faith, and even the faith is God's gift to us. Well, if we get a hold of what he's saying to us, we leave him this morning and say, Lord, glory to God. Thank you for saving me. Whew. Well, wonderful. Praise your wonderful name. You saved us. And you called us. You say, well, I've been called to preach. I haven't been called that nothing. Well, you might have been called to do some different things, but I'll tell you one thing. You've been called to a holy calling. Whatever calling of God is on your life, it's holy. In fact, he said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Thank God for it. But he says, purpose of grace. Now listen to this, which was given us. What? Given us. Something give to us we didn't have, you know, as a fellow said, a bucket to put it in. It was given us. We didn't have anything to transport it and to go get it. He gave it to us in Christ Jesus. That's how we got it. He brought it to us. Let that settle in a little bit. I couldn't go up there and get it. I couldn't pull myself up by my bootstraps. Huh? No, it's given to us in Christ Jesus. Whew. When did that happen? Yesterday? Somebody read that. It weren't yesterday, was it? Before when? The world began. Well, Calvin, that's a long time ago, ain't it? Somebody said, oh, well, I've heard people say, well, God didn't know that Adam was going to fall. He didn't know all this. Oh, come on. He knew all that and had everything just like he wanted it. He chose us in him. In Christ. Called us before the foundation of the world. I didn't know it experientially. Wasn't even born. But that salvation was complete and finished. Listen. When Christ went to Calvary. And before that, they were looking forward to it, sacrificing them animals. Amen. But he gave it to us. There's that gift again. There it is. The gift of God. That's what he told the woman at the well. If you just knew who's talking to you, who it was, said you'd ask of him. He'd give you a drink of water. That you wouldn't thirst again. There's a gift. I was explaining to a gentleman this week, trying to. The sign, the verse we got on the sign out there. It was working for some. Because did something wrong. He's had to work some community hours. And I want to help him. And I am helping him. I said, that's the wages that you have to pay for that. That's the wages of what? S-I-N. But guess what? Guess what the last part of that verse I got to tell him was? But the gift of God. You don't have to work for it. Oh, glory to God, you want to work the rest of your life for him because you saved you. But you can't work for it to get it. But the gift of God is eternal life. It's all through who? Same one I'm reading about here. The Lord Jesus before the world began. And so he said this verse right here. It says, given us in Christ Jesus. This grace, it's a gift. It's not a works. It's all right there. It's Him saving us. It's Him calling us. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Hallelujah. Listen, why would you want to work for a wage? Now, some of us workaholics, I know that. We like to work. And if you don't like to work, you need to start liking it. But I'm just giving an example, okay? If somebody said you can go out here and work in the hot sun, about 100 degrees, go out here and work, just give you two choices, just say, or you can just come sit here in the air conditioner. I'll just give you, just give you something. Which one would you rather do? Now, I like work, but as hot as it is out there, I want to go work for a wage and do that. So I just give it to you if you don't come here and sit down. But you know what people are doing? Living in sin, paying the wages of it, when they could be getting a free gift. Be forgiven of their sins. Have eternal life. And walk with God. I don't know nobody else better to walk with you than walk with Him. Whew. It's a gift given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God said, I'm going to have a people. I'm going to save them. I'm going to call them. All be ready. Why do you think he come in the garden that day? Somebody said, why was he asking Adam where art thou? He knew where he was. He wanted Adam to confess up. He knew where he was, but he knew. Adam, where art thou? He come walking. Because see, Adam been used to walking with God. But when he sinned, disobeyed God, broke fellowship, he died spiritually that day. And that's exactly how we born in this world. Till you get born again. That's what some people don't understand about the new birth. We come into this world born physically. Got to have the new birth. I had it. It's so good. Still got it. It's still alive. Hallelujah. You know what I got born to? I was born the first time of the flesh. Second time I was born, the book of Peter said, born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That same word of God I got born of. That's why I got fell in love with it. You get a few of my Bibles, got about eight or ten of them marked up. I fell in love with the word of God. Before I got born again, I just laying around. Can't get enough of it now. What are you reading that Bible so much for? It's in that heart, ain't it? Why? It's wonderful. You know what's carrying me through now? It's books helping. It's not just a book. It's living. It speaks. It's alive. It helps us. I guarantee you, you find an answer to everything you need in Him. You sure can. You sure can find it. We better move on. Amen. Paul said, glory to God. I won't dwell here much. Look at verse 10. But now made manifest in the appearing of the Savior, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who have abolished death, brought life and mortality to light through the gospel. You know what? Death's a whole different thing now to a believer. It is. And I really believe Carol could see that. Those ticker those last few weeks, the last few days, what death really was to a believer. You know why? But God was letting her see, because she was fixing to head home. And she was seeing. To her, it was just like walking into another room. She told me on that last day home from here, when I took her and eased out with her, didn't even go to the door. And when she told me going home, she said, if you'll turn me loose, I'm going home to be with the Lord and be with Dwight. And you know what? That's how assurance, you know why she had that kind of assurance? She's had the gospel of God, the power of God, and life in her life. And you know what happened? She could see So he, see, he taken the sting out of death. You see? We still die physically. But it's just a departure. The outward man's a perishing, the inner man being renewed day by day. And it's so worth the house of this tabernacle would be dissolved. But God's got a building for us in heaven eternal, not made with hands. He's got a place prepared for us. And now they still conscious, they still much alive, more than ever before. In fact, I believe they know much more about what's going on, even amongst the world and the church, that they and most of us do. Believe that. I know they know when somebody is saved. Because the Bible tells us rejoicing among the angels over one sinner that repents and comes home. Amen. And so listen, he took death, made something different out of it for a believer, because listen, we can lay down this life, unshell, get out of this body, and go be with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. If to die is gain, it's better. So he did something to it. Hey, we can know when we leave this body. You see, the real you is not this body. That's just your house. And you know what? Brother Larry was thinking about your day the other day. I might have mentioned this at the funeral. We're going to trade this old tent for a mansion. He won't be his body won't be like that no more. Hey, he did something wonderful. Paul said he appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. Now going quickly before we close this morning, verse number 12, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. You know why Paul was stowed in prison? You know why he was beaten with stripes? You know why all this happened to him? Because he's preaching the word of God. He said, I suffer for all these things. But you know what he also said? A suffering to this present life. He said, not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed over there. Paul knew all the sufferings and the beatings and everything else he went through were nothing to compare. These afflictions, he said, was light. You know what he's comparing them to? Not somebody else's. But he's comparing that eternal glory that he's going to see and have when he got to heaven. It don't matter what you got to go through in this life. Listen, it'll be worth it all. And it won't be nothing, listen, when you weigh it. Put it on the scales and weigh it. And I guarantee you that eternal glory, listen, it'll make these afflictions seem light. And it also make them seem like a moment. It will. Thank God it will. Then he goes on, he said, Paul, the apostle said, I know whom I have believed. He didn't think so, hope so, maybe so. He knew. He knew, I know whom I have believed. He didn't just know about him, but he knew him. That's the reason the Apostle Paul said, I might know him in the power of his resurrection. I know most of you probably know the Lord sitting this morning, but if you like me, I want to know him better, closer, and I want to know his power and the power of his resurrection. I want to know him. And Paul said that I might know him. He said, I do. He said, I know. I'm not ashamed, and I know whom I believe. He said, I'm persuaded that. If you notice in this little verse, there's three that's in him. First, I want to say he's able to keep. He's able to keep that I've committed to him. As I said a while ago, commit it to him. He can keep it. He said in Jude 24, he said, is and him that's able to keep us from falling, but in his faults of the presence of the Father, it's him that can keep us. Right. He's able. You remember he asked somebody one day, he was walking the streets, he was when he was here, and he said to him, you believe I'm able to do this? Yea, Lord. He's able, he's full able, and we need to be persuaded that he's able to keep that we committed to him. If we'll commit our problems, our needs, our everything to him, He can keep them and work them out and move in mysterious and marvelous ways for his glory. He'll keep it. He said, I know him blue, he's able to keep that. I commit it unto him against that day. Tell you some more things he's able to do. Hebrews says he's able to save them to the uttermost. You believe that? That means there's no case too hard. There's no one too far away. There's no one too far in the depths of the pit of sin that he can't pick them up and save them. He's able. He sure is. Also, the book of Hebrews says, I'm going to go on quickly. Hebrews says he's able to secure. That's what he said, wasn't it? He's able to secure them. Amen. See, I got that somewhere, I'm going to read it. I think that's Hebrews 2, isn't it? Some of you preachers help me here just a minute. Yeah, that's where it is. Well, I got a marker. That's right. For he that himself hath suffered, being tempted, is able to succor them that are tempted. He's able to undergird them, able to sustain them. Right? He's able, listen, to carry us through. You know why? He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Somebody said, well, yeah, but he didn't know this and that and other. I want to tell you something. He walked this earth as a man. Amen? And he knows everything that you and I face, every temptation, every trial, in all points, the Bible says. And he's able, thank God, to subdue it. He's able not only to, secure and help and strengthen those that are in need. But there's another verse of scripture, must move on. Turn with me to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. He's able to subdue all things unto himself. Whoo! Glory to God. And don't get too excited about this one. Let's just read verses 20 and 21 of Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Verse 20 and 21, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I like this. The older you get, the better you like it. Who shall change our vile body? And that it may be fashioned and like unto his glorious body. According to the working whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself. He's able. He's able to subdue all things unto himself. You know what that word means? Conquer, control, and bring it to pass. All things unto himself. Hey, did you know? I want to thank God. I used to wonder when I'd go to funerals. I remember going to funerals when I was little, and I'd wonder how in the world is them people gonna get out of that grave. And preachers kept saying they're gonna get up one day. Yeah. How they gonna get up? It's just gonna take the word. All he gotta do is just the word of his power. And when I saw that verse that said he upholded all things by the word of his power, when I saw it in Genesis 1 where it said God said. He don't know how to go down there and get these oak, take that lid off and just go down there, you know, and send somebody. No, he just speak the word. Trumpet sounds. Voice. He speaks. He spoke this world into existence. Nobody furnished him material. He said, where'd he get it? He spoke it into existence. Huh. far as I'm concerned, he did a perfect job. He said it's good. Hallelujah. And so he's able to subdue all things. You know what he's telling us there in that passage of scripture? He can take these old vile bodies and he can change them. Fashion them like his glorious body. Like he had when he got up from the resurrection. You see, he had a different body then than when he went in the grave. Whew. He's the first fruit. He is the first one. Now, with some raised from the dead, he raised some from the dead, and some of the prophets in the Old Testament raised some from the dead. But listen, just like Lazarus and some of them others, they died again when time comes. But Jesus said, I'm able to subdue all things unto himself. He's going to take this old body one day. If I'm still alive when Jesus comes, thank God, glory to God, you know what's going to happen? Dead in Christ going to rise first. They're coming out there. We're going to be caught up together with him in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And it's so corruption must put off. It's so corruption going to put off and put on incorruption. This old mortal is going to put on immortality. It'll be sown in weakness and raised in power. Care how weak he was when you died. When you get that morning come, strong. Stronger than ever. I'll be stronger than ever. Amen. Yes. Sown weak. Some people, when they pass this life, I've been there with them, couldn't hardly wiggle, so weak. But one day, glory to God, when they left that body and got to heaven, listen, they're there in the presence of God right now, worshiping the Lord. Amen. And that spirit realm, one of these days, they're coming back with God and going to get a new body. And he's able to do that. I'm so glad he is. All things are possible to him. Nothing too hard for him. That's my Lord. And I can tell you, he's worth service. He's worth living for. He's worth being faithful to. And I'm telling you, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I hope and pray that we'll all get caught up in this fast pacing hour we're living in now. We was talking this week, some of us was talking, discussing between us how that we live in such fast pace. It's sad. I mean what old Brother Vance Houtner said, read what he said one time. Of course he's born about 1900 and he'd been gone a while, but he's an old preacher. But he come up in the horse and buggy days. He said he was talking to an old fella one time, said he had cars, and he just had cars come out then. And we talked, must have been back in the 40s or 50s. And he said, the old fella said, he said, I used to have time to visit. He's talking about somebody lived over not too far off, said, I can go over and back now in an hour. And but said, I don't got time to go. He said, we used to take all day to go on a horse and wagon over our mule wagon. And said we had time then to go visit and come back. I've never forgotten that. Time is precious. Take time. Take time to be holy. Take time to serve God. Because time won't always be. It'll be gone. Amen. I'm telling you, it will. Because I know tomorrow I'll be ticked off another year. Time passes fast. Rachel comes to the house. I got one of them things I have to put my medicine in for morning and night. So she can keep up with it. All I know is just counting. That's all I know, what's counting. See if they're all in there. Because I spill them, seal them sometimes, dumping them. But you know what? You know what I really saw? 7 days in there. He said, well, I got plenty now. Turn around. It's gone. 7 days done gone. Weeks five. You know what God's saying to me? Time. Like a vapor, life is. Appear for a little while, then it vanishes away. Gone. Seem like no time. Really. Seem like 50 years goes in so fast. And a lot of us don't have 50 more left, probably, do we? But you know what? Just remember one thing before we close. You will be living somewhere for eternity. You'll be enjoying the presence of God throughout eternity, eternal life, or you'll be in eternal death, but you still will exist. You'll never cease to be. That's what people don't realize. Sure, these bodies lay down, but you'll never. If you're looking at 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, you know what it says? Outward man is a perishing, but the inward man being renewed day by day. So this real person living on the inside of this body. So what I'm pleading with this morning, live for God. All his other won't matter. Serve him and live for God. Would you stand with me this morning?